If we have to, will we sell that land? We love what we do. We love our way of life. We love the honor that we have of farming to provide a product to the American people that they can consume. So let's take this buffer and kind of make an analogy, and I'll close with that. What if you were to take all of these subdivisions that you're referring to today, everybody that's came up that's in a subdivision that has bought an acre lot, a 3-acre lot, a quarter acre lot, some of them are that small, and let's take 20 feet away from the outside edge of that and tell them they can't do anything with it, but we're going to require them to plant trees in it at their expense. And someone's going to have to maintain those trees. And furthermore, when they go to the bank to try to get a home equity loan, that land that is taken away is now devalued. That's what I'm referring to as taking away the equity of my land by taking away more land of a buffer. It's also been said that if you make a 20-foot buffer, a 40-foot buffer, what's to stop you from making it a 100- or 200-foot buffer? Same concept. Again, if you were to talk to every single person that is in a subdivision and take 20 feet away, the outside edge, the outside perimeter, every single one of their lots, I think you'd have a lot more opposition in here today than what you actually have now. Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Any questions?
Next speaker, please.
Wait, Dan's in control of.
Okay.
Would somebody get Mr.
Yes.
Kramer out of the middle of that?
Mr. Guy's got to, somebody's got to take control of that list. All right, Mr. Guy, take charge of that list.
That's right.
This is not the first rodeo we've done.
Good afternoon, and thank you all for your service to Sussex County. I truly do appreciate it. I know it takes a lot of time, and I appreciate that you serve our county. My name is Carol Pallett, and I live in Lewis, and I'm a realtor in Sussex County. In response to recent proposals to accompany development, I write to encourage wide buffers, ones as wide as reasonably possible. We've lived in Lewis for nearly 30 years and have come to greatly appreciate the rich and varied landscape. And I urge us to do all we can to protect and further it, especially in the light of increasing development. Wide buffers, one of native trees and other indigenous vegetation, protect our most important natural resource, water. Closer to a stream or other waterways, the wider the buffer, the greater the protection of the water and all the life it supports. It's as simple as that. Buffers are not only good for watershed protection, but also provide habitat, especially for climax species, mature oaks and hickories, foxes and deer, eagles and owls. Buffers protect marshes, those cushions against storms and high water in the nurseries of our seafood. Buffers are wildlife corridors, helping wildlife move safely from one patch of forest to another, thereby promoting biodiversity. Recreational trails for hiking and biking to help us get out to explore and enjoy and appreciate are established easily within corridors. Maryland provides a model there. There, buffers typically 75 to 150 feet wide are essential to the protection of one of the world's greatest estuaries, the Chesapeake Bay. As we try to live more thoughtfully, more reasonably with our natural world, one essential to our lives, let's try to better care for it. Wide buffers, more intact natural habitats help. Our estuaries, our water, our landscape deserve nothing less. Thank you for your consideration.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next speaker, please.
Yep.
My name is Anna von Lindenberg. I live in West Fenwick. I was the volunteer lead for the Inland Bays organization, Your Creek Project. I've been here for about 6 years. I am a newcomer. When I got here, I needed to understand when I might need to evacuate. And in the process of doing that, I became keenly aware of the environmental issues. You've had two factions here, people whose livelihoods depend on development, and I understand that, and people whose eyes are wide open and who are concerned about the longer view. You guys are in a position at a certain point in time when we've had unprecedented growth. Farmers came and they cut down trees and deer got killed and eaten for dinner. Things happen. We are in a state of flux, but we're at a time of unprecedented growth. This is a time at which the values of the farmer's land, the prices of homes, coffers of the realtors and the developers are probably at an all-time high. You guys are asked to be the visionary, to look at the longer view. I think we need to look at that. Why? You look at other places. Shortly after I moved here, I had occasion to go to three different places. One was Mississippi, one was Hilton Head, one was San Diego. Hilton Head is a mecca for people to go to. The values are out of this world high. And the man who bought the entire island of Hilton Head is a backwater. Place for growing indigo, island rice, Carolina rice, and island cotton, was a visionary and decided that the environment was going to come first. You had a color palette people had to adhere to. You had amounts of impervious surfaces that had to be obeyed. And property, rainwater, was to stay on property as much as possible. And the result is that people go there and they get it. Curiously, the population density there is the same as it is in Fenwick Island. It doesn't look the same. San Diego, you have a grassroots operation there where you don't even see a disposable water bottle laying on the street. The people really care about the environment. They have indigenous plantings in the yard, and it's a very expensive place to live and to visit. In Mississippi, a mayor decided to take some money out of one budget and put it toward having nature areas for people to ride bikes in, walk into work, etc. And what happened was he got more money back in the increased value of homes than he originally took out of the budget for this sideways move. In all three cases, putting the environment first, taking the longer view, was a bigger payback. So I don't want us to be myopic here. We're at a crossroads. And peripheral areas around us have already made this move. So we're in good company. Where I came from in Maryland before I moved here, we had a rural district where you had to have a maximum of 2 houses per acre to have well and septic. Likewise, developers had to adhere to that same thing. And so they were allowed to have their common areas, the roads and everything, and still have an average of 1 house per every 2 acres, but that included the roads, et cetera. Here we are in level 3 and 4 in a county with the lowest mean height of water, seawater, of any county in the United States, with 43 or 47% of the wetlands in Delaware, and growth that is at the, I can't remember the statistic, but we all know how unprecedented the growth is. So development's happening very quickly here. Our AR1 allows for 2 residential units per acre. And in a level three and four, where we are smack up against wetlands that are atrophying due to nutrient pollution. We're all concerned about flooding. That is why I got involved with the environment, was to understand when I might need to evacuate. The neighborhood that I live in, it is surrounded by Derrickson Creek, which is the southernmost tributary in Delaware. It's environmentally impaired per the EPA. And our neighborhood has never been robocalled to evacuate, but the neighborhood next to us that was built in the 50s gets robocalled, I'm told, about four times per year by someone who lives there. We have made progress. I believe our neighborhood, when it was built, was a little bit ahead of the curve in its forward thinking. It has a lot of maritime woods. The argument that I would make about these woods is, don't take them out and replace them. Leave them in place. And yes, it does cost money to maintain these woods. It costs money to weed out the woods where necessary, where our man-engineered ponds, which are designed to overflow into the creek, those avenues for overflow can get blocked and clogged by vegetation. But to cut down the woods unnecessarily, to plant a 1.5-inch diameter tree, which will take decades to mature, and the loss of the fens where you have wetlands, and again, we're talking about a part of the world with a lot of wetlands. The wetlands, in between the wetlands and these maritime woods, is a fen zone. It's very unique. It's very small. And it basically, with microorganisms, is really protecting those woodlands. Once you break all that down, it's not going to grow back very quickly. It may never grow back. And the wildlife, the organic vegetation that is there, in you're talking about not only removing acres of trees, but you're talking about scalping existing trees. The trees that are on our neighborhood's border to the creek got scalped to the top 15%. And I have a picture that I just took this morning of three trees in the yard next to me that are dead. These are mature trees that died. They were scalped about a year before I moved in, so about 7 years ago. And you also have the removal of the understory with bush hogs coming in. Everyone wants that view. So it's not just whether the trees are left there. It's, is the understory taken? Is the whole reason for them being there, their whole purpose, still there? Last summer, a friend of ours who lives in West Fenwick, in an older neighborhood, it's about 15 years old, I guess, there was an empty lot. Someone owned it, decided to have the trees taken down on that lot, sold the trees. That was earlier in the summer. And then within a month, that whole lot looked like a swamp. And the houses next to that lot, surrounded by that lot, had water encroaching up to their patio. One tree can absorb up to 500 gallons of water in a day. Wow. We're all concerned about flooding. And, you know, yes, the value of the property may go down a little bit in the short time, but the value of the property has never been higher than it is right now. Yay, farmers, for that. I'm happy for them that the value is high. I don't want to hurt farmers. I want to work in a way that is smart and that is forward-thinking. We are right now in southeastern Sussex County. We're right there at the water's edge. It looks like we might dodge this bullet with Hurricane Florence. But we've seen what happens. And, you know, there's an old saying, Houston, we have a problem. You know, the astronauts, Houston, we have a problem. Houston, we have a problem. We've seen the flooding that Houston had, and they were many more miles inland than we are, but too many impervious surfaces, not enough zoning laws. We will pay for this in the long run if we don't bite the bullet now. So let me just look through and see what I said. Yes, there is a cost to maintaining buffers, but you put in developments, you have HOAs, they have it in their budget, you have a subcontractor like Envirotech who advises you on how to do it. It's a cost of doing business, but I would still say it's cheaper than the alternative. The problems that we have come when you have the rain events. That's when bacteria gets washed into the creek. Nor'easters, the nor'easter of 62 was the worst storm we've had, and it's not even in hurricane season. So you have an area where you have lots of farming. The crops that we have are to feed chickens. They grow in the summer, and in the wintertime, you have windblown dirt. There is a farm that is along the creek side of Derrickson Creek, and between the farm and the creek is the most robust remaining set of wetlands that we still have in our creek, along with maritime woods. The farmer doesn't know that when the wind blows from the west and the creek freezes in the wintertime, a sandbar forms, a visible sandbar forms on top of the frozen water. It's from the windblown dirt from that farm. And what's coming off first? The organic matter, because it's lighter weight than the little tiny stones we call sand. So, anything worth doing is worth doing right. And I did reach out to my county councilman, Rob Arlett, on three different occasions by email. One was to ask for his assistance. One was to invite him to a meeting. And most recently was to ask for his vote on this ordinance. I have requested a reply on all three emails. I have not received one. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Next speaker, please.
My name is Dan Kramer, 8041 Scott Store, Greenwood. First question is, what is the real purpose of this ordinance? Another 20 foot is not going to make animals go through it. No way. Then you want 40 foot? Hey, you might as well, why not go to 100? Just as effective. I'm going to tell you what. I actually have, where I live, a 550-foot buffer. There's a chicken house from my house, about 400-foot worth of woods, and 150 open space. And yet, right now, with the leaves, I can see right through it and see that chicken house. Now, you think if a development came in there and you're going to put 80 feet in there, that I'm not going to see that development? Give me a break. How asinine. And then, on top of that, the strip of land, not less than 40 feet in width, exclusive of any residential lot, stormwater management areas, facilities, open space, except land area, within the buffer strip may include in the overall calculations. Guess what? You cannot have walking paths in there. You can't have nothing in there at all. Not according to this ordinance. And the HOAs are going to have to maintain them things, and no walking trails whatsoever. And if you really want to be smart and you want buffers, you allow a piece of land that's been farmed. You shouldn't even have to be planting the trees. Why not? I guarantee you, and I can show you farms all over this place, where they quit farming, and all of a sudden, they're all full of woods. Trees all over the place. Correct? Absolutely. It'll grow up on its own. And those are the best trees. Why? Because their root systems are staying there, and I can show you a place where for 40 years they were right on a tack stitch. Never a tree never fell over. But when they plant them, if you plant a tree, that root system will never have the root system that a plant by itself comes up. Then here's another thing. According to this thing, when it goes into effect, if the day before you have an engineer has a plan for development. This thing goes in effect, shall apply to subdivisions filed into office and zoning after the date of this ordinance is adopted. The day after you have adopted it, and he already has his plan already written, he now has to go back to square one. And that could cost another $500,000. $250,000 easy. If this is such a great ordinance, are they going to ask existing owners to give up their 20 feet? Well, why not? I got news for these people that want this thing. Oh, we want to look like New Jersey? Well, then go back to New Jersey. You want something from Pennsylvania? By dad, you want to go back to Pennsylvania? Or, I don't care, Maryland, where you come from. Pack it up. Go home. I don't need you. The county might need you, but I don't. Because that's my pet peeve, is when these wannabes want to move in here and then demand that we do what they want. No, when you move in here, you become a Sussex County and you do what we want, not what you want. And by the way, these people ought to volunteer to plant more trees on their own property. Why not? They want trees, let them plant. They're already existing. So don't waste my time. I'm telling you, vote against this big piece of crap.
Hey, thank you. Next speaker, please. Is there someone signed up?
Yeah, you're on. Thank you.
One?
I believe I'm the last speaker.
No,
I've
got no more.
Oh, no, wait.
Excuse me.
Gentlemen, ladies, my name is Robert Thornton. I serve on the board of directors of the National Association of Home Builders, and I'm state director for the Home Builders Association of Delaware.
Pull those up, Robert. Pull them up.
Bring them up a little bit.
Yeah, there you go.
Testing.
There you go. We'd love to be able to hear you.
And I'm honored that Governor Carney recently appointed me to his Native Species Commission, as I served on his task force for a year and studied how, even in Sussex County, our biodiversity is upside down. Yes, we definitely need to deal with many of these issues regarding future development, what we consider increases or decreases in density, and how that can't just be dealt with in one ordinance. I'll mention that due to engineering constraints, this extra 20 feet doesn't sound like much, but from a scientific standpoint, I've heard it mentioned that buffers are very beneficial and there's no one against them. That's to the contrary. We have National Association of Home Builders, environmental scientists that can come over here and show how increased buffers can be very detrimental depending on our drainage structure, and being that Delaware is flat, that's an issue I hadn't heard addressed today. Certain properties, because of their configuration, not every 100 acres is 10 by 10. So if you have something that's a scalene or elongated, here's what can happen. That person can not only have their future density diminished if they decide to sell that property, since they can no longer farm it, and it's been in the family for years, they may have no density whatsoever. And our National Association of Home Builders, land use attorneys have cases, stare decisis, nationwide, that say Sussex County may very well be defending takings cases, especially some of the example properties they used going out to the Bridgeville area. Now, I'm not legal counsel, but I like the fact that Sussex County is doing very well, anticipated income stream now. Another thing I'll mention is the Home Builders Association greatly appreciates the Honorable Mr. Burton meeting with us for several, it seemed like a couple hours. Mr. Burton mentioned that he needed to put the brakes on development, and a moratorium would probably never get passed, so this kind of seemed like the best vehicle to go about it, and that's okay. I may have policy differences with moratorium, but let's debate that. Let's not hide a desire to kill the golden goose in Sussex County. I mean, I work 70 hours a week. Not to disparage anyone up here, but we're kind of, most of us are in the fourth quarter. What kind of a legacy are we going to leave Sussex County's working poor? They're forgotten about. You go 3-4 miles inland from Lewis, all the way down to Fenwick Island. I've been down here for 25 years. Luckily, I'm in that 3 or 4 mile corridor. But there are some serious blue-collar, working poor issues in this county, and the only thing that drives them out of that poverty is economic opportunity. And out of the 8 cylinders firing in this economy here, we don't have 30 businesses. We have tourism, we have the poultry industry, which on predictive.org says in 5 years it'll be done. That's under assault right now. If we get rid of the building industry or greatly diminish it, it's been a long time since I went to the Phoenix Miami Police Academies as a kid, but I follow what happens in these instances. Yes, for the graying generation right now, it's nice, it'll stop development, a little less traffic headaches, but you create a vacuum, gentlemen, and what happens with that vacuum is a massive amount of crime moves into the area afterwards. Because there is no industry, there's no work, they get very despondent. I'm just saying, before we throw a 20-foot buffer zone just out there and say it's going to benefit everyone, let's really get the stakeholders to the table and study it. And I'll be the first to sign on if we have the proper science behind it. But if we're doing this just as a matter of Penn and Teller misdirection, let's kill development. We can't get a moratorium, so let's get behind this buffer, and that'll give us some political cover. I think that's a disastrous way to go. So I thank you for your time, and I thank you for listening.
Good. Appreciate it. Thank you. Next speaker, please.
How many more speakers, Mr. Guy?
Sorry?
How many more speakers?
Three or six people
left.
Oh, please. You're
welcome.
Move on.
Good afternoon, Paul Rigger, 18171 Deer Forest Road. Concerning the buffers, comes back to...
Pull the mics towards you, please.
Quiet. Or you can get closer.
Concerning with the buffers and coming in with them, you listen to certain hearings, you want to increase the buffers on different hearings, you want to decrease them and come into it. When Mr. Burton was reading the ordinance off this morning and discussing it, I'm just, if you have the 40 feet set, it sounded like there was conditions going through planning or zoning and to the county council to bring that buffer back down. It would just be like somebody has an AR 2 acre, wants to go to 4, they have to come in, change the zone, go to 4 acres, no big, or 4 units per acre, no big deal. As if there's a problem with the property, comes up unique, needs to go to a shorter buffer, it should be no problem for the planning and zoning to come through and bring it back down. If they need a certain part to be 20 foot, they need a certain part to go 10 foot, they need... It gives you the leeway to compromise and get the decision through planning and zoning and through the county council. It's just like you listen to a lot of planning and zoning things where you have parking spaces, you say so many per parking per business, then it goes through planning and zoning, then you say, okay, well, if there's 100 parking spaces, well, the business only needs 75, so you bring the parking spaces back up or they need more. It's not a detriment to say we're setting it at 40 feet when the planning and zoning and the county council can bring it back if it's a necessity to do. So my opinion is it may be safer to stay on the 40 foot, see where it goes. You can always come back down, but you cannot, you may want the more of a setback going forward than the other direction. So as long as you can control it, it's left back to the county council and the planning and zoning to decide it. I can't see what the big problem is. You're making a decision, take it to 20, take it to 15, but you start out at the 40 and you just can bring it back. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anyone else that would like to speak on this issue today? Anyone else?
I have one comment.
Robin, you got the list.
Okay.
Are we done out there?
You had the list?
Yeah, let me finish.
I thought you brought the list.
Oh, I'm sorry, we did bring it.
Anybody else have Mr. Rigger signed up?
No.
Thank you.
Yes.
I have just one comment, and that's to address Mr. Thornton's moratorium comment. This has nothing to do with a moratorium. This has to do with buffers, and it has to do with what buffers do for Sussex County, and that's it.
So to imply that this has something to do with the moratorium is just not the case at all.
Okay, thank you. Mr. President, there's no one else that has indicated they'd like to speak today. We can close the public hearing today. I know from discussions there may be a desire to keep the record open. If so, I could read the short title for that if there was some kind of motion to keep the record open.
Right. I would like to, I mean, we certainly can close the public hearing, but I'd like to see us keep the public record open for at least a week and allow anybody who could not get here today for whatever reason to speak. Let's say next meeting. Anybody's already spoken, no, they can't come back and speak again. Anybody could submit something in writing if they want to, but as far as speaking to us in public, anyone who could not make it today would have the opportunity to maybe come next Tuesday if that were. And I realize there are people out there that are concerned about a storm and doing things they got to do, so that's my fault. We'll see what council wants to do.
So with that being said, Mike, are you referring to keeping the we could have it back as a public hearing for those who have not spoken?
Correct.
And I believe you had indicated you were concerned about the farm community with the storm and getting in the crops.
Correct. Right. So how do we want to go about doing that?
You could keep.
Mr. Cole has something. Mr. Cole's got something.
No, I was just going to say, don't forget the people down at the beach with the
absolutely.
Shops. They got to close up the shops. It's just not about the farmers here in Sussex County. My God, other people are working 7 days a week sometimes. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Anything else, George?
No, that's it.
That you want to add? This is constructive.
That's constructive. there's more to be working.
Yes, it would take a motion because there's no one else that's speaking today. We are no longer proceeding on today with the hearing, but you could keep the record open, including the public record for a period of time, and keep the public hearing open specifically for those who have not spoken to come up at a, whether it's next 1 week or 2 weeks, whatever that date is, that you would like to keep it open. There need to be a motion to that effect.
I would make that motion to leave it open for a week.
I'll second. Well, leave it open and have another public hearing for those who have not spoken yet today.
Correct.
That is correct.
I would second that motion.
I would motion Mr. Burton, second Mr. Arlett, that we are going to keep the record open and allow people to come next Tuesday and speak before us, only if they have not already spoken.
Yes, so the public hearing and the public record would remain open. Anyone could give us materials in writing in the interim, but anyone who has not previously spoken could speak again next week, and it would be listed on the calendar or on the agenda as continuation of public hearing.
Questions on the motion?
Just to clarify, Mr. Vincent, and this was never to be decided today because Planning and Zoning Commission has yet to make
correct.
A decision. So just for the audience, for their purpose, just so they understand that. So okay.
Anything else? We'll take the vote, Mr. Arlett.
Yes.
Mr. Burton.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
Mr. Cole.
Yes.
I'll be able to carry. Thank you. Now then, Ms. Cornwell. And our friends from DelDOT. Next thing is going to be the annual CTP presentation with DelDOT and Ms. Cornwell.
So good afternoon. Y'all.
It's an exciting meeting.
Sorry. So this afternoon, we're going to be discussing the proposed CTP request that has been received from the members of the public as part of our public outreach for the annual CTP. We draft information that we provide to DelDOT regarding what we would like to see included into the CTP. This year, we're taking a little bit of a different approach.
Typically, it's been kind of more of a booklet-type information. In this instance, this year, we're trying a new approach where we're just kind of going, hey, this is, these are the items we want considered in a table approach. You know, this was included in your packet. You'll notice a little bit of background information. Again, we continue to grow. We are continuing to be incredibly busy. We keep moving forward as the county grows. So we received a number of items, number of requests from the public. I will note that we also, since we are doing the update from the comprehensive plan, we included the items in the mobility chapter as part of the county's request for consideration for those items into the plan. And we've also invited DLDOT. They are here with us. They have been very patiently waiting for help us to provide this presentation. So what we did this year was, again, the new items that we were requesting, we wanted to include into the CTP request. We also recognized that there are also a number, there again, everything in kind of a peachy orange color, all new. We kind of did, hey, what would where the location is, what kind of the purpose is, what are we going to get out of it? Are we going to improve safety, increase traffic capacity, and then the location of the project? We also recognized, oops, need to stop moving that. We also recognize there are things that we've been asked in the past that to be included as part of the CTP. So we wanted to make sure that DLDOT was aware that there are still projects that we may not have heard from the public this year about, but we still believe they're important enough to continue to request consideration as part of the CTP. So again, those are included into the request as well. And then we also recognized, you know, some pavement projects, some sidewalks, some other things that we received comments about that we also recognize are important. However, they don't actually fall into the requirements of the CTP. But we also wanted to make sure that DLDOT was aware that we also had other concerns about signals, sidewalks, pavement, other things, signal timing, how do we can address those. So we asked, included them as well into our request for this year. And if you have any questions about that, I'm happy to answer. Again, we did hold open up for the public to comment. That closed back in August. We went through the approximately two dozen requests that we received and compiled into the report that you have.
I know in previous years, we would have a presentation and we would rank, like, what's most important to us.
What our priority is?
It wasn't a formal ranking, but yes, we listed like a table of contents that we...
Are these things in any kind of order or just however they came in, there they are?
So the order that the new projects were included were ones that were in the comprehensive plan. Those went at the top of the list because the council has looked at those and determined those are important, that they would go into the comprehensive plan. They were specifically identified from the comprehensive plan. We also recognize some of the projects that could potentially be going into the CTP or projects that we've heard a lot about, you know, lots about Route 24, lots about certain intersections. So if we heard those multiple times, those were, they're up in the list. And then other things as they went down, you know, we included those in the list. So there's no formal ranking.
There is no priority.
No formal priority, but we did try to recognize the concerns that were recognized in the comp plan, the concerns that we could heard multiple times.
But there is nothing to say the first thing on that list is more important than the 99th thing.
Correct.
We have the new and we have the previous. Is there any priority given to one over the other? The previous has been around for many years. A lot of that stuff has just been back every year. Now we got some new ones. So if a dollar becomes available at DLDOT, is there any kind of priority or how do we know?
How about if we ask our friends from DLDOT if it matters if these are ranked once the CTP is submitted, the request is submitted to.
I think as they're coming up, I know previously, Mike, I'm sorry, may I? I know it was mentioned previous years to have a progression, i.e. status of these requests, i.e. so they're not in there and then they're just kind of off the radar. we kind of are, for our public purpose, where are we in the process of these approvals? And I think that was something that we've requested in the past. I don't see that in this document here. So is there, what are we doing to monitor the requests that this council is coming up with every year?
So again, we're working with DLDOT to continue to talk, because all our projects have to go through their prioritization process. They go in with all the requests that are considered from throughout the state, and then they are prioritized based on many different qualifications and rankings, and they can answer that question. We do have the proposed CTP that does show that there are a number of projects. And even some of those that we have on our list are actually in the proposed CTP. So I made sure those were in there, because even though there's a proposed CTP, I wanted to reference that we still think we wanted to reiterate the importance of those projects to continue to move through the process. And I'm going to welcome DLDOT.
While you're coming up, it's almost like, I think what Councilman Cole, it's almost like the things that we had been working on should be at the top ahead of the ones that we haven't worked on. Something we've been at for a while.
Right. And again, we're still in a draft, so if you want to change the ordering of the items, we are more than happy to do that.
Let's hear Mr. Boyce have to say. Yeah. Mr. Boyce,
Drew Boyce, Director of Planning at DLDOT. And so I can definitely appreciate the sentiments expressed by council in the fact that that as I looked at the list, there were several on there that we are, you know, that we're actively working on, that are actively in the in either throes of design, right-of-way acquisition, or maybe even on the cusp of construction. And as I looked at some of them as we were scrolling through in the draft document, I even saw that some of them were even completed. And so what I think is right and appropriate is that we, when we get the either as the document is still in draft, that we, you know, we can provide a response to that document if you guys wanted to finalize it, and then as a response to your submission to DLDOT to say these are the county's priorities, we can say yes, these are we acknowledge your requests and these are the ones that we're moving forward. This is how they lay out on our prioritization. These are the ones that were completed. These are the ones that are currently in process and provide a feedback in that regard in kind of a letter format.
I think it would, because we have this now up on our website, right? Like request for
that has improvements. Since closed. That closed back in August. It was open for a certain amount of time, so we could then get the documentation put together, so we can then present it to council for your consideration. And then, of course, there will be a public meeting September 26th to discuss our requests and the CTP.
I was just wondering, Todd, is that something we can just keep open year-round? I don't know why we couldn't just keep a request there year-round.
We could keep it open longer ahead of the deadline, so once the deadline comes, we can have that coupled together so that we can make this presentation today in anticipation for the DLDOT required public meeting. So an extended period of time ahead of the deadline, yes.
And from the statewide perspective, our comment period will stay open until October 10th. And so we'll still be taking on, even though through the county's process and your project solicitation, ours is still open until the 10th. So when we meet collaboratively together in Georgetown on the 26th, we will still be accepting public comment and on the proposed plan. So any new ideas that they have will then be considered by the Council on Transportation when we reconvene with them in kind of early December.
Mr. Chair.
Oh, Burton.
Hey, Drew, does the council's request carry any additional weight to the COT's ranking system? Does that get added into the Vision Lens ranking system?
Currently, it does not. So there's no there is no criteria for what I'll call local priority. We are in the process of making some changes to the statewide prioritization process, and that is one of the elements that we're considering, and that we will present to the Council on Transportation for for their consideration in what I'll call the enhancement of the statewide prioritization. When we first adopted, when we first presented it to council on transportation, I want to make sure that we don't confuse the two. The Council on Transportation, they have by code the authority to approve our prioritization process. When we first presented it to them, I know Councilman Burton was actually a council member on the Council on Transportation at that time, and so we said that it was not set in stone. That we wanted to make sure that as we got better data, as we got more information to be able to assess these projects, that we were going to tweak it as we go. And so we're now over the next year going to be working with the Council on Transportation to tweak the process. We think we have better ways to measure safety, congestion, and we definitely want to enhance the economic impact portion of the project assessment, as well as maybe create a criteria for this local priority.
I think that would be a big help. Yeah.
So then at that point, we would really want your organization to come to us with a more prioritized list, because basically how that would work is we would say, you know, maybe your top five get a bump up, and then maybe the next five get a lower score. And so we would need that, your list of priorities to help us incorporate that particular criteria. And again, that would inform the FY 21 to 26 CTP. So that's it's a little bit in the future, but we are working on it.
Sure. Mr. Wilson?
I have one question. Is that talking about carry, he's talking about the weight of cattle. Do we carry more weight than state standard does? State standard wants something done? Can we override that?
Are you dreaming?
That's probably not something. His pay grade, he wants to answer that question.
So